The book of 1 Samuel. We actually begin our study in chapter 8, verse 6 today, but let's begin reading in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after money, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us, like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Samuel didn't answer the elders immediately. Instead, he prayed to God. He took his time, he thought about their words, and he prayed to God for direction. Whenever anything bothers us, it is in our best interest, and actually it is our duty to turn it over to God in prayer, to talk to him about it, see what he has to say, see what he wants to do. 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Poor God, he's been impeached, and he hasn't done anything wrong. He's given Israel everything, but they are not satisfied with him being their king. It's like having a wife or a friend or a husband who you've tried to give everything to, only to be rejected for someone else. 8. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto you. It's like God is saying, I'm used to this, Samuel. God had always been good to Israel. But instead of responding positively to his love, they would act like self-centered, spoiled little brats who could never be satisfied. Instead of complaining about what they did not have, Israel should have made a list of all the things that God had given them and spent their time thanking him for every single one of them, because it was a long list. 9. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. God knows these people cannot be talked out of wanting a human king. So he tells Samuel, don't even try. Don't try to persuade them. But warn them. You know, God will only strive with people for so long before he says, have it your way. But I'm warning you. 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people who asked of him a king. It is important that all of the words of the Lord be told, just as Samuel did. And that is especially true if someone is heading down the wrong path. All we can do is warn people with the truth and pray that they listen. 11. And he said, This will be the manner of the king who shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. In other words, this is what your king will do. Israel. And it's summed up in three words. What are those three words? He will take. That's it. In a nutshell, he will take their young people. He will make them serve him. Did you ever notice that ungodly people are takers? Very seldom are they givers. And even when they do give, it is often in order to receive. 12. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground. That means plant the crops, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Notice the words himself, his, and his. Himself, his, and his. That king that they want so badly is going to be the boss, and he's going to be self-centered. He's going to want people to serve him, not God. 13, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries. That means makers of ointments and scents, perfume. And to be cooks and to be bakers. He will take your daughters. He would take my daughter if I had one, but only after he pried my cold, dead fingers from off of her. That word from God alone would have been enough to make me say, no, I think I want God to continue to be as our king here in Israel. I don't want a human king. Nobody's going to take my daughter. 14. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take your best, says God. And that would be wrong. And I'll tell you why. It's because according to the law of God, the Lord was supposed to get the best of everything. God was supposed to get 10% off the top, and the best animals as offerings, and the first fruits of every harvest. 15. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. They were already paying 10% to God, and now they're going to have to give another 10% to support the king's appetite for pomp and ceremony and luxury. And of course, you might as well take 10% off your income and toss it out the window if the king is going to spend it that way. 16. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them in his work or to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. God had a king in mind for Israel's future. His name was David. He would be a king that would rule under the lordship of God. But this man-made king that Israel will choose is not going to care about God at all. He will want people to serve him instead. Anyone who desires to be the center of attention has made a god out of themselves and should not be pleased. 18. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. They will not listen to God's warnings. They would not listen to the word of God concerning choosing a king for themselves. So when disaster comes as a result of their rebellion, he's not going to listen to their complaints. Sometimes God must let people suffer for their sinful foolishness, or they never learn. 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us. Their minds were made up. Right or wrong, true or false, good or evil, They were going with what they want. And they will soon learn that going against God's word often produces long periods of suffering and regret. And you know, they know that by now. They know, if they would study Israel history, they will know that that's the case. And it's just not worth it. 20. Let's read verses 19 and 20 together. Because it says, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, 'No, but we will have a king over us.'" Just flat out refused to listen to the word of God. Willful disobedience, not ignorance of what God said, just indifference to what God has said. That is the worst kind of disobedience. That brings the most severe punishment. It's one thing to be ignorant of right and wrong. It's a completely another issue to know what the Bible says and to reject it because you don't like it. And there's an awful lot of that going on today. 20. They say, "Well, we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Satan loves to tell people, "Oh, sure, you know, having God is nice, but you can do better than just having God. You can have it better than that. Now, you don't have to get rid of God, but you can have to do things your way instead of God's way if you want really the best." And the truth is, when God is number one in your life is as good as it can possibly be. When you walk away from God, things are going to start going downhill. Israel is going to find that out in a hurry. 21. "And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord." God already knew their answer, but Samuel tells him anyway. God knows what we know. He knows what we feel. He knows what we desire, and he also knows what we need. But he still wants us to talk to him about it anyway. Actually, every prayer is a rerun to God, because he knows what you're thinking before you say anything. He knew it before you were born, what you were going to say in prayer to him today. He knew it a billion years, so to speak, before he created the world in Genesis 1:1. Verse 22. "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king.' And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, 'Go ye every man unto his city.'" And so God says to Samuel, give them what they want. It wasn't his perfect will, but they are determined. So he says, give it to them anyway. Sometimes God answers yes to prayers that aren't what he wants. And when he does, people better hang on, because they are in for a bumpy ride. And God's people have just made a huge mistake by insisting on something that goes against Scripture. And I'm telling you, nothing has changed. You are making a huge mistake. This country is making a huge mistake by insisting on things that are completely contrary to Scripture. So easy to see. They're in for a bumpy ride, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better, and it may not ever get better.